The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Owen Murphy is with me. He is the author of Running from Office, Confessions of Ambition and Failure in Politics. He, of course, is a former Fine Gael TD and a former senior cabinet minister. Owen, thanks a million for coming in to us.
Thank you.
Have you enjoyed being back on the interview circuit?
I was kind of fearful of it, a bit of anxiety anticipating it. One thing I talk about in the book is that I would dread doing, I got to a point where I just dreaded doing media. And if I had something on the next morning, I wouldn't sleep the night before. If it was a Friday, I had something on the Monday, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so, yeah, a little bit of me was worried as I was kind of coming back to Dublin about how this was all going to feel.
Mm.
And it has felt surreal, you know, it really has, because that old life of mine seems so far away now. It could almost be a different life, because 3.5 years ago, and I've left the country and done a lot since. But it's great to be back in Dublin. It's great to kind of meet up with people. I mean, you know, people I haven't seen in a while. So that's been a nice part of it. And people are very kind about the book, which is lovely.
And was there ever a similar sense of trepidation about doing the book?
Yes, absolutely. So the book was kind of written in two stages. I wrote the book and I enjoyed that process. It was cathartic. Sometimes it was difficult, but, you know, in the round, it was fun to do. But the second stage is when you go to publish it. So you get your book deal. And now when you're revising it, you're saying, well, is this the last time I'm going to write this sentence? Is this really how I want to put this out into the world? And do I want to be so honest? Because I was very private, even though I was a public person. I really guarded my privacy and I didn't like talking about how I felt. I'd get those questions in interviews and I always thought, look, that doesn't matter how I feel about the situation. It matters, what am I doing right or what am I doing wrong? And so here's a book where I'm just talking about how I navigated the world of politics, I suppose, from an emotional point of view. So really exposing myself in a way, and that's a bit scary. So I found actually going into the kind of publication part of it challenging.
Do you still think that when you, I know you've made a point, you make it in the book, and I've heard you make it in interviews, you know, you're not necessarily paying close kind of attention to the daily cut and thrust of politics here, but, you know, Micheál Martin's going to be on later in the show. If I ask him kind of, how does he feel about something? Do you still kind of, when you hear that question being asked, is there a bit of you that still thinks, why is he asking that question? Like, you know, well, what matters here is the policy that he's on to defend.
So I'll come back to Micheál in a second. And, he's a good guy. And he was very good to me when I was leaving politics, because I found leaving very difficult. But I pay a lot of attention to the UK now because I live there in London. And I would see these ministers going on and I would see them doing exactly what I did, repeating their lines. They were learnt. They were trying to be very scripted, very professional looking. And it seems so inauthentic. And you're kind of shouting at the TV screen and then you're kind of going, well, hold on, Owen, people were criticizing you for the same thing. Get some perspective here. And I think it's something that's maybe a bit damaging to our politics. So I was wrong in how I thought I should present myself as a minister. And I can see now why people here might look at some politicians on TV and get annoyed at them, because they're not really seeing that true person. They're seeing the person performing, because so much of politics is performative.
Yeah, because it's sometimes that would frustrate me in the other direction is when a politician won't reveal something of themselves or how they feel, that they want to stick to the talking point. And I kind of think to myself, sometimes in my head, what I'm thinking is, you know, nobody goes to the polls thinking about policy. They vote on emotion. Exactly. They want to kind of have a connection with you. And I'm giving you, I'm maybe a tough question, but I'm giving you an opportunity here to make an emotional connection. Take it.
Yeah, that's when you're interviewing
people.
That's
what I think in my head sometimes, asking those questions. Here's an opportunity for you to make an emotional connection with someone.
Yeah.
Take the opportunity.
And the smart politicians, the good politicians, know that and they do it and they do it well. They may not be authentic in doing it, but they know how to kind of pretend to do it. And absolutely, how does this person make me feel? How does this party make me feel? Or what are they saying about this and how do I feel about that? Feelings is a lot of it. I mean, actually, they say that like people who are interested in politics respond to political argument emotionally.
Yes.
Don't respond rationally.
Yeah.
It's a whole side of politics, I think. I'm not sure, you know, where it's going from that point of view. But when I was watching very closely UK politics, I could completely understand why people were just so frustrated with someone like Rishi Sunak, for example, who I am sure went in with the best intentions in the world. But when he was out speaking in the public, people just weren't buying it because they just saw him as a bit of a robot or a technocrat or something like that.
Yeah.
But they actually want, I think they want passion from their politicians. I think they want emotion. Someone who, you know, gives who care? I mean, I'm sorry, I was about to swear there, and I'm not sure what language I can use. But
yeah.
Someone who gives a crap. You know, they want to know that you give a crap.
You can say that.
Is that okay?
Thanks. Yeah.
And I don't think, but there's another thing that's going on in politics as well. And part of it is because of the social media age. if you put one word wrong in a sentence, that can get taken back and blown up into something else. So you become, I used to love speaking without a script because people are much better speaking without notes. But the second they were starting to parse every single word that I used, how exactly did you describe that thing? And so you become so afraid of one word out of line that you kind of come in on yourself and you just become this performance robot. And all those opportunities to maybe connect with a voter through an interview, you miss because you're just terrified of saying something wrong. That's a really bad way to approach an interview.
You know? And when you say you describe that you were in a bad place at that time, and that's what a lot of the book is, you know, kind of details that, you know, when did that start? I don't mean in hindsight now that you can look back, you know, you didn't realize it was starting maybe at the time. There's just the stress. This is just the stress of politics. But now looking back, when do you say, actually, that was the first kind of sign of wheels coming off the bus a little there?
I think it started in the summer of 2018. So I was appointed in the summer of 2017. So 1 year into the job, because a motion of no confidence was coming. And I remember just feeling really tired. But the advice was, you've got to get out there and fight for your job. And I was like, do I have the energy to do this? But I went out and I did it. But by the end of that and coming through the motion of no confidence, I was so exhausted. And I didn't realize it at the time. I was like, I'm through this motion of no confidence. I'll continue doing my work. But it was then a couple of months later, it really hit me. Mm. And I use this line a few times, like letting the criticism bite too much. You know, people criticize politicians a lot. They should. They probably don't realize just how critical politicians are of themselves. I come in here, I talk about co-living, I say boutique hotels. I carry that with me. Mm. It stops me in the middle of the night from sleeping. It catches me in the street walking down going, why did I say that? I'm just demonstrating how out of touch I am. I'm wrecking this policy. I'm damaging the government. I'm damaging people who are trying to run for election.
Is that a human trait, though, or is that a personality trait?
A lot of my former colleagues have been very open with me since I've left because I guess they felt they could talk to someone about these things now. And they're like, and I'd be telling them, you know, a bit more about how I was feeling and stuff. And they're like, exactly the same. You know, I used to get very bad kind of pains in my stomach and they were absolutely, you know, mental health related. One of my colleagues, exactly the same. And we were going to doctors, trying to find medication, trying to see, well, what's actually going to solve this? And it was all to do with stress. And then others talking about, you know, that fear, that anxiety about doing media or being out at public events. I mean, the experiences I talk about them because I don't think they're unique to me. And that, I was reading just as I arrived home to Dublin, Roderick O'Gorman getting fierce abuse.
Yeah.
So it is like, it is a constant, it seems to be a constant feature now of our politics. And it makes it very difficult for the politicians, I think, to stay in those jobs too long. So a lot of Fine Gael people aren't contesting this next election who were elected with me in 2020. They all have their own reasons, but I don't think it's unrelated to some of the stuff that I experienced. When you're working at that kind of high level in the public eye with the public pressure, you can only do it for so long, no matter what the job is.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be
and do you think if you had had maybe the, and I don't mean this in a critical way, but the kind of the self-awareness maybe at the time, I'll say that summer of 2018, to realise this is all becoming a bit overwhelming. And had you had the mental health support at that time, that you might have stayed in it. You know, you might have had the coping mechanisms to kind of deal with that criticism. And
I mean, I was such a fool in so many ways. I mean, I really didn't have the self-awareness. Like, when it came to my social media and stuff, I thought that I could still carry on being the kind of normal person I was while dealing with the housing crisis. And at the time, like, Twitter was everything. And, you know, what you tweeted was real life.
Yeah.
People talked about it. And I was giving absolutely the wrong impression of myself and what I was trying to do. So there was no self-awareness there. And then on the mental health side, I was really embarrassed. I was like, hold on, I'm a cabinet minister. I'm a tough guy. I can't admit to a weakness here, not even privately to people. Mm-hmm. And I won't even admit it to myself, actually, until it's too late and, you know, you've had problems. So, yeah, that kind of awareness wasn't there. I had the wrong attitude to mental health. And it's something that always annoyed me about politics. And I'm a hypocrite for it myself because we would talk about mental health in such ways and responsible for mental health and funding, all these things. But there's nothing really in the Dáil that's looking after the politicians' mental health or their advisors' mental health. I mean, my advisors, my senior civil servants went through all the stresses I went through, you know. And I just don't think that there's enough is being done. And I felt that from early on when, unfortunately, we lost our colleague Shane McEntee, Helen's dad. And it wasn't discussed and you weren't to discuss it. And we're just going to move on to the by-election and get Helen in and let's just keep going, folks. Politics is tough, but man up. And that's really unhealthy. And there was a time around then, I remember kind of really doubting about the job and was it for me and being upset. And only a few months after that, talking to a couple of friends in there, other politicians, and realizing they were feeling the exact same.
Yeah.
No one was talking about it. But listen, the door bar is open, so let's go down and get a pint, yeah? Great.
Yeah. The impact that has on kind of not just the individual, but kind of the, I guess, I don't want to kind of sound a bit, well, I'm kind of reluctant to kind of say these words, it suddenly it sounds very abstract and esoteric, the conversation, but the kind of the institutions of democracy, because that's where you work now and kind of that yeah. field and observation. Yeah. But it must have a consequence to our own kind of democratic fabric if kind of working in the body politic as a civil servant or as an elected official can be such a toxic atmosphere.
Yeah, and I think it's time to start making some changes or thinking about making some changes. I think, and again, sorry not to go back to the UK, but there's definitely people talking about how the UK system of government is broken, this cabinet-style system, which is now a huge cabinet in the UK. They're finding it very difficult to do big things like we are here. And I often felt, while I was there, like just the way that we've structured our politics, both from how we elect people to then the kind of roles that they're given to do, I think there's probably space to make some very positive changes so that we don't continue to put people off politics or see people leaving before they should be leaving. And we actually find it easier to get things done. I talk about institutional structural problems that I encountered within. There's never one person opposing you, and they're not opposing you in bad faith. They've got their own priorities. You know, you've got to try and navigate the system. And I wasn't very good at navigating it, but it shouldn't be that difficult when it comes to big issues. I don't think it's a problem unique to Ireland, but it is something that we could look about fixing at some point. And I mean, look, I'm not involved anymore and no one's asking my advice on that kind of stuff. But I would hope that maybe there's some kind of learning there as to, yeah, like there's changes we can make here. And people would come and bring those ideas to me, but I wasn't able to handle what I was in charge of already.
Yeah.
So I wasn't about to be taken.
What types of ideas? Give people an example at home of...
Well, like, you know, what's very interesting in other countries, so I'm now observing elections in other countries to help them kind of improve their democratic processes. We've got a great system here of electing people by constituency, but it makes it incredibly hard to get on the pitch.
Mm.
So, and then once you have it, the power of incumbency is very strong, so you don't want to leave, and it's harder for new people to come in. In other countries, they might mix it up with having a list system as well, which means that you don't have to come home and work a constituency. If the party also gets a certain percentage nationally, then a certain number of people on that list also go into the dole.
Yeah.
And that means that, say, for example, you're working here in the media and you think, you know what, I'd like to go into the dole, not to be a minister, but actually to maybe bring forward some legislation as to how to improve independent media.
Mm.
And I'm going to give that 5 years. But if you actually want to do that today, you've got to go and find a constituency, probably where you're from,
yeah.
Start going to meetings in the evenings, forget your personal life, forget your family life, do that for 5 years, maybe longer, maybe you get into the council, and then you build for the dole. I mean, that's, whereas if there was a list system and you were high up on the list with a particular party,
yeah.
You could just go in for your 5 years and then leave again.
Well, it'd be a job.
As
opposed to
yeah.
a vocation, which is what it is yeah. at the moment. And I think it's funny because to kind of combine two different things we've been talking about, I think what would have put a lot of people off, or you'd hear people kind of remark, God, how does anyone do it? I don't know. In the past, was the vocational aspect of it, was the constituency clinics. It was pressing the flesh at the funerals. It was
yeah.
cutting the ribbon. Or if
yeah.
someone else was, you were still standing in the photo while they were cutting
yeah.
the ribbon. And now it's all the abuse. That's what elicits that
yeah.
old response of, God, who do that job?
Yeah, and that's something I didn't properly understand before I got involved because I didn't come from politics. And as I looked to get involved in my mid-20s, I was meeting people to get advice. And no one really explained to me that it would be a vocation, that it would be suddenly how everyone viewed you. Oh, you're a politician, so I'm going to think of you in a certain way.
Mm.
And your relationships start to become transactional because you want people to like you, you want them to vote for you. Maybe they're going to help you put up posters. And then, of course, you want to do your work. And I remember Dublin City Council, and I get into the parking bylaws in a big way because parking is a real pain in the ass
yeah.
issue. And I thought, I can make a practical solution here. And I was trying to bring in car sharing, car clubs, and it involved freeing up parking spaces, all very boring stuff. But I could spend a lot of time working on that stuff, but no one would see me doing it. But if I went to the local school play on a Friday, I would see lots of people, and then I'd get the next week, oh, I hear you're at the school play, you're doing a great job, you
yeah.
know? And I get it, because if people don't see you, they don't know that you're around, you know, but the idea around the list system is that there'd be a group of people in there, and not that they'd be a separate, I mean, people sometimes criticize that they'd be a different type or an elite politician. That's not what it's about. They just wouldn't have to, you'd have both types of politicians in there, people who are happy to be working in their community and be at public events and do that kind of support work. The others who might want to go in just because they want to fix one particular problem and they have the knowledge to know how.
But like that idea of always being on, and always being aware that people are looking at you and they're going to judge everything you do. You know what I mean? Yeah, I better not pick my nose sitting in the traffic here because somebody take a photograph of me doing it. Not that anyone in the studio would ever do such a thing. But that has to, on some level, contribute to that feeling you had in summer of 2018 and to the feeling in your stomach thereafter and running through the streets of London.
Yeah.
Like, it's exhaustion. It's mental exhaustion, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I could never get a reset. I could never, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I was getting sleeping pills from around the place. Then they stopped working. You know, if I got a bit of a break, I'd then go on a drinking bender stupidly. And it's just all building and building and building until it breaks. And like a lot of it comes down to exhaustion. And the problem there is when you're tired, you start to read things wrongly. So I started to read criticism in the newspapers that was absolutely fair, because I've gone back and read it now and I see that it's fair. But at the time, I thought it was very personal, very unfair.
Yeah.
I let it get to me and it builds and builds. And you never really can get time off. You know, and a couple of times I went to go on holidays, I tried to have a weekend break. But you can't put away your phone. You've got too many people depending on you for decisions and stuff. So you're never really off, even when you're maybe just sitting at home because someone's tweeting something somewhere and they're expecting you to tweet a response. And if you don't, you don't care. So, you know, at least like before Twitter became big, we had like the Dáil Bar. So at least we could have a drink privately amongst ourselves, you know, and not be in public. So that if we'd just done something very bad and say a budget cut, and people saw us laughing in a pub in town, they'd hate us for it. At the Dáil Bar, we could be ourselves. But social media eventually intruded in there because you'd have to be keeping an idea, you know, an eye on what was happening outside of that room. So, so that always on thing, it's a real challenge.
What now if you were going back or you went back or there was some kind of bizarre set of circumstances that you found yourself appointed to get, like, what would you do differently? How would you, I'm not asking about policy. We're going to be up to our eyes in policy discussions over the next 3 weeks here. But, you know, in terms of managing yourself and managing your own wellness, what would you do differently if you were starting today as a senior cabinet minister?
Yeah, I mean, like there's definitely policy things I would do differently. I felt in a way, I mean, look, there's the management of my mental health. One thing stupidly that I did was I stopped exercising. And for me, you know, going for a good run absolutely does a really good thing for my mental health. And so I need to go for a few runs a week just to kind of, you know, but I stopped doing that stuff because you lose time and it's too late and stuff. So there's kind of practical personal things like that. But you know, I became so ambitious for the wrong reasons. I wanted to go into politics to make a difference. By the time I had a chance of going into cabinet, I just wanted to be at the table.
Yeah.
You know, so your kind of ambition calculus changes in a negative way. And I think if I was going back, and let's just say I was still ambitious in that way, I would have then kind of, because when I became a cabinet minister, I didn't want to fall out of that inner circle of power that I was in. So I didn't challenge the system enough myself. I had things I wanted to do, I had ways I wanted to do them. And when people or the system around me, I couldn't bend it to my will, I said, okay. Whereas I think a younger version of myself, like when I was in my first term of the Dáil, I was very happy to be offside with the Taoiseach. But once I was his kind of right-hand man and he was my patron, I wasn't happy to be offside with him because I wanted to stay in the room. And so how I was measuring things, how I was judging things was skewed. It was wrong.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have cared about that shit.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sorry.
I know it's easy to say that now though, isn't it? But what you described there isn't a personality trait, actually. That's human dynamics.
Well, I believe
isn't
that
it?
As long as I stayed in the room, I'd have more influence.
Yeah.
And I was part of big decisions and I thought I was helpful.
But I don't think, I mean this with the greatest possible respect, you're utterly unique in that regard, I would suggest.
Okay.
That's just
human dynamics. And I really wanted to talk about that aspect of things in, you know, like that ambition, where it takes you.
Yeah.
Because it can start from a good place. But then, and absolutely, when I became a junior minister, and it's not that you like the perks, it's actually that you realize there's so much you can do in a given day or week compared to being like a backbencher on committee. And there is a sense of importance around you. And you feel you're a part of something important. It's the government. Like, what's more important than that? If you're in politics, this is it.
And there's a
cabinet room down a corridor. I'm not allowed in there. And that's where it really happens. Now, it isn't where it really happens. And I went in that room. Mm. And that's when things, that's when your ambition is, you know, it's gone off track or it's gone in the wrong way. And that happened to me.
Well, listen, so much of it is detailed in the book. Congratulations. I should have said, that's what I should have said first.
Thank you.
Said, congratulations on the book. Running from Office, Confessions of Ambition and Failure in Politics by Owen Murphy. Owen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Available in all good and bad bookshops now.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.